You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
12 minutes after 9, it's evening, mashallah, this beautiful Thursday night, the night of Jumu'ah, which is also the 13th of Muharram 1441. I see the questions are coming in. I've got about 7 questions in total. Oh, too many beautiful questions they want to ask Maulana Salim Karim. I've got Brother Ghulam Mullah from Durban. I've got Auntie Aziza Esad listening to the program. I've got Sister from Lodium. I've got Sister Nazreen Gogawala. She says, yeah, Maulana, I totally agree with Maulana Salim Karim. How the parents bringing up the children, if you taught them from small correct way, shouldn't have this problem by now. So many listeners. Somebody says here, ask Maulana Salim Karim, this is overseas, the Saudis are dancing and drinking with the enemies, Modi. Is that not a sign of Qiyamah, Honorable Respected Maulana Salim? Even Dubai and the other Arab countries doing drinking and going to casinos. I'm coming to this question. But before I go to my beloved Fadilatul Ustad, the brother says here, I try to be pious. I've been down that road, Respected Maulana Salim. I became a straight person in life. I stopped speaking lies. I stopped listening to music. I stopped smoking weed. I stopped swearing. I started reading my namaz. But what I saw, Maulana Salim, I lost all my friends. Because they felt I was too pious. I was left all alone. And eventually, I came back to what I was before. And then today, my friends are back with me. And they say, now you cool. You look cool. So, I've been down that road, Maulana Salim. My name is Malik. I feel that I have betrayed the Almighty Allah. Ustad, 13 minutes after 9.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Maulana. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give this brother tawfiq to come back on Siratul Mustaqim.
Ameen.
The mere fact that he is feeling remorseful. There's a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, that a person will make guna, he'll make tawbah again. He'll make guna, he'll make tawbah again. He'll make guna again, he'll make tawbah again.
Allah.
And finally Allah Pak says, my banda, you'll get tired making guna, but I won't get tired forgiving you.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
One. Number two, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam said, Al mar'u ma'a man ahabba. Allah will resurrect you on the day of Qiyamah with whom so you kept company. That is why in Islam it is so important. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, three things will become priceless in my ummah before Qiyamah. One is 1 dirham of halal earning. It will be a real challenge, Maulana, to make sure that your rosy is 100% halal. And number two, a sincere friend. These are not friends, Maulana. A sincere friend in Islam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, please be careful when you're making a choice of a friend.
Allahu Akbar.
A true friend is he who takes you closer to Allah.
But Ustad, I mean, he can think for himself, Ustad. I mean, do you blame the friend? Do you blame him? Or maybe he didn't have the willpower?
No, Shaitan, Maulana, Shaitan is there all the time with us. Shaitan is making waswasa, min sharril waswasil khannas.
Astaghfirullah.
He doesn't want to see Allah favor you. He wants to see Allah destroy you. Maulana, we got three enemies. We got three obstacles that stops us from following Sharia. One is this nafs ki taraf se. Because our iman is weak. We don't have deen, we don't have suhbat. So nafs ki taraf se. The greatest jihad, Maulana, is not only fighting your enemies in the battlefield. The greatest jihad is jihadun nafs. Kill this ego, this pride, this arrogance, this ananiyat, destroy it. It's a sweet poison. Number two, an obstacle to follow Shariat, Shaitan ki taraf. As I said, Shaitan is at our back all the time.
Sure.
Maulana is like a cobra snake or a puff adder. You know, a puff adder is a very beautiful snake. When it coils up and it's like sleeping in the sun, basking in the sun. If you look at that snake, Maulana, it looks so beautiful. You may think it's a flower you want to pick it up. So Shaitan behaves like this. The way he disguises himself, that you fall in the trap. See, what will happen if you touch that snake? It will bite you. Mm. And that's exactly what Shaitan does to us. Number three, first obstacle is your nafs, your ego. That's why it's sit in the company of pious people.
Yes, I was just going to say.
Heart is sick. Yeah. It's got all the wrong things in it. When you sit in the sohbat, in the company of pious people, they are like doctors of the heart. There are many, many illnesses of the heart. For each of those illnesses, we have doctors and specialists. We need to go to the right doctor, inshallah. So we know we don't have angina, we don't have to put stents, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Gee. So we need to go to the right people to cleanse our heart, purify our heart, get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Shaitan every day, read Mu'awwazatayn, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. Not only for jadu and sihr. Yes, it's the most effective ayat of the Quran to read. But also to ask Allah Ta'ala to protect you from Shaitan who leads you towards guna and masiyat.
Mm.
And so, number three is rishtidaro ki taraf se. My family will say to me, oh, this person now is gone for Hajj, he's reading five times namaz, he's giving charity. They will start talking ill about the fellow family member. And then you feel that, you know what, I'll be ostracized. I have to go to that function. If I don't show my face over there, what they will think of me? Doesn't it happen, Mulana?
Correct, Ustad.
I know that that function got music, it got haram things over there. Haram activities are taking there. But to save face, I say, never mind, there are moods dikha kar aa jati. We'll go there and just show our face and come away. Allah was better. The third obstacle is rishtidaro ki taraf se. Sometimes our families are so staunch in certain things. See? As if when we want to follow Sharia, they mock us. They laugh at us. See, they make mazak of us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us a beautiful formula that he said his friends, mashallah, said, you are cool, then you are a fool, not a cool. To go back into whatever you were doing previously. But Allah Ta'ala says, my banda, come back to me again. I still love you. Come back.
Subhanallah.
At-taibu min al-zambi kamal la zambala. Humse bhool ho gaye, Rabbul Alameen. Humse khata ho gaye. Oh Allah, I forgot. Rabbul Alameen, I made a mistake. Allah, I fell down. Allah, pick me up again. So for him, inshallah, nothing is lost. Go back to Allah. As I read that ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. If you fear Allah, you make tawbah, Allah will open your path again. Friends can do nothing for you. Ask him when he is in difficulty, financial difficulty, if those same friends who said to him he's cool will really stand with him.
Mm.
Ask him if he traveled with those friends and they stood up for him. Ask him, those same friends, did he do a business deal with them and they kept to their side of the bargain? Kisse dosti karte ho? Who's your friend? So Rasulullah said, the priceless thing is to find somebody who is a friend that is sincere, that when you see him, it must remind you of Allah. When you see him, it must take you towards goodness. It must take you towards good amal. And what are the friends taking him towards? Jahannam? As somebody said it very nicely, Imran, I have too many flaws to be perfect. All of us. I have too many flaws to be perfect. But I have too many blessings to be ungrateful.
Ya Allah.
But I have too many blessings. Take all the other blessings that Allah gave to you and make shukr. Number two, when you have strong connection with Allah, when you have strong connections with Allah, then everything is possible. You just turn your hands towards Allah. Turn your head towards Allah. Turn your hands towards Allah. Turn your heart towards Allah. And sincerity, when you make dua sincerely to Allah, it produces wonders. Just turn to Allah one more time. Brother Malik, you got such a nice name, Abdul
Allah
Malik.
Allahu Akbar, Ustad, Allahu Akbar. So, for Brother Abdul Malik, can he break off ties completely with his friend? Is that permissible, Ustad?
You should do the system. Anybody that's going to influence you towards doing guna, and you're going to be part and parcel of it, then you should distance yourself from that individual. Seek a friend that will bring you closer to Allah. Obviously, he has to disassociate, disconnect with such friend.
Allahu Akbar.
Malana, never sacrifice three things. Number one, your family. Your family was happy, Brother Abdul Malik, that alhamdulillah you had taqwa and deen, you are Allah conscious. Don't sacrifice your family now. Number two, don't sacrifice your heart. Your heart was in love with Allah. It was filled with the marifat of Allah. It was filled with the love of Allah. Don't sacrifice your heart. And number three, don't sacrifice your dignity. Allah gave you izzat. Allah gave you respect. Allah took care of you. Don't sacrifice your dignity for a group of lousy friends.
But Ustad, can I ask you before I move to the next question? Please, Ustad, me being your shagird, a student of yours, do you think these people out there in the world, where when somebody does good, you say, hey, you know what, check this guy, he's becoming a buzruk. You know, where they run you down and say, you know what, you're becoming too pious now. But I mean, Ustad, do you think these people out there, where they run you down because you're doing good deeds? I mean, you have your tasbih, you're making dhikr, you're reading Quran. You know, you're changing your life, you're changing yourself. You seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know, Ustad.
Well, this is what I'm saying. You know, jihalat and darkness is such a curse. That sake of encouraging, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى.
Subhanallah.
وَلَا تَعَامَلُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Allah Pak is giving us a clear instruction in the Quran that help each other to promote taqwa. Create Allah consciousness. Bring people closer to Allah. وَلَا تَعَامَلُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Don't help each other to promote guna and sin and animosity and hatred and enmity. We have to choose our battle. We have to choose our friend. I'm befriending you, Mawana, because you are rich. Inshallah, I'll get money.
Astaghfirullah.
I'll use your car. Where's the real muhabbat? One person said to Hazrat Umar, as I asked the question, I love this brother. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, you love him? How much you know of him? He said, no, I love him. Many of us, we ask our friend, we say, I love this friend, he's my best friend. Number one, you did business with him, yes or no? And how did he treat you in the business? Deal like strangers, live like brothers.
Live like brothers. Correct, Ustad.
If you want to have a business relationship and you want to have family relationship, when you do business, deal like strangers, whether it's my father, whether it's my brother, whether it's my son. I'm totally independent in my way. My father is totally independent. My brother is totally independent. Let's be independent and deal in business like strangers.
Ustad, you have to listen to this one, yeah. I'm just going to give all the sisters a chance. They're giving the input. She says, this is Sister Razia. Salam, Mulana. The brother went back to his bad ways. Ask him if he has sukoon. He should try and bring his friends on the straight path. It won't be easy, but neither was it easy for our Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he never gave up. He was also ridiculed, but that did not deter him, our Prophet. So instead of joining his friends and their bad habits, the brother should try and bring his friends on Allah's path. That's his Sister Razia. Sister Nazreen says, Malana Salim, how the parents bring up the children if No. Mulana, I got a 16 years old son, but you know he is not allowed to go to any friend's place or even after school transport bring him straight home. And another transport is waiting for him to madrasa. He's doing hafiz, make dua for him. That's how strict we are, and he is a very good boy. Respected Mulana Salim Karim, this is from the listeners.
Alhamdulillah, Mulana. May Allah Ta'ala grant all our mothers and fathers the same jazba like the sister is mentioning now, that we worried about our children. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min awladin yakunu alayya wabalan. O Allah, I'm asking you refuge. I'm seeking refuge in you from such children who will become a real pest, a real azab on us. Mulana, parents are crying tears of blood. Allah Ta'ala reward all these sisters who come on air and express and give beautiful advice.
Ya Allah.
And this is what Ad-Deenun Nasiha. Mulana, maybe a little child will pick up a phone and phone you in now. And give you some words of wisdom and advice. Take it. Even if it, they say, you know, if the writing is on the wall, to take the advice. Not only from the book. In other words, whoever gives you advice, take it. And this is what Markaz Sahaba is all about, Mulana. We want our brothers and sisters, inshallah, to engage with us. None of us are perfect. I don't know everything. If I don't know the masla, I'm going to refer it to Hazrat Mufti Sahab. And for me to say I don't know it, I'm not going to feel ashamed, Mulana. La Adri, Ma Adri, I don't know. I'll ask Mufti Sahab. I'll ask my seniors. So the sister that's giving advice there, that MashaAllah, the child is taken to school by the father, Alhamdulillah, picked up, again taken to madrasa. Because she wants to make her akhirat.
Allah,
the exact what Allah said in the Quran, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَزُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنْ. O Allah, make our spouses and our children the coolness of our eyes. This is a perfect recipe. So we should take, inshallah, the cue and the deed that we can do the best for our children. It is not, Mulana, it's not an honor for my child to come here with a university certificate.
Of course, Ustad.
Mulana, the best certificate is a certificate of the Quran. That I as a son or I as a daughter. And I said, may Allah make it a reality for me, Mulana, for you and for all our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
One day before I die, I want my son to read the Quran from Alif Lam Mim to one Nas.
Allahu Ameen, 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 Thumma Ameen, Thumma Ameen.
Allah, I'm giving our listeners this one nasihat. If I'm alive, Alhamdulillah. If I'm gone, you make dua for me.
No, Ustaz, Allah give you long life, inshallah.
Really, Mulana.
Allah give you
long life. You know, that will be the greatest joy for any father or any mother. Or my daughter to read the Quran from Alif Lam Mim, sit in front of me as my father and mother. Ammi, Abu, I want to read the Quran. I'm starting now. It may take me 1 month, it may take me 2 months, but I want to finish the recitation of the Quran in front of my parents. I read my Quran, I completed my Quran in front of my dad. But Ammi and Abu, I want to complete the Quran, so on the day of Qiyamah, I can also intercede on your behalf.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah. That will be the most happiest day for any father or any mother when they have listened to the Quran of their daughter. You know, when the mother takes the child to the madrasa or the father takes, and the ustad says to the child, read, beta, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kataballahu bara'atan lahu. Allah writes forgiveness for the child. Allah Ta'ala writes forgiveness for the ustad. Allah Ta'ala recites, Allah Ta'ala writes forgiveness for the parents. Subhanallah. Mulana. So, what I'm saying is, make effort. The millions that we spend on cell phones, luxuries, holidays, let's take the same money and invest it in the Quran.
Ustad, Subhanallah. So, half past nine, spot on. Let me just read few listeners' input. One sister Anisa from Swaziland says, respected Mulana Salim Karim, what a beautiful program this evening. My son is only 14 years old, but he's taking so long to become a Hafidhul Quran. Sister Anisa wants to know, is Mulana Salim Karim a Hafidhul Quran or not? That is Sister Anisa from Swaziland. Sister Farina from Durban says, To that brother Malik, one question. When you die, brother Malik, will your brothers be there with you? Second question to brother Malik. The closer you get to Almighty Allah, the more tests you'll have. Which test is better, my brother? The dunya or the akhirah, Sister Farina? And she says, true friends, brother Malik, will take you to the doors of Jannat, Sister Farina. Well said, Mawlana Salim Karim, about the doctor, Sister Farina. And she says, gee, Mawlana Salim, people make fun of me. They say I'm too pious. They say I must stop reading too much. This is Sister Farina, Ustad.
Okay, to the sister from Swaziland, mashallah.
Anissa.
Good question. Mm-hmm. Mawlana Hafiz al-Quran, Ji, alhamdulillah. I completed my hifz in Pakistan.
Ameen.
Madrasa Jamiat al-Ulum al-Islamiyah, mashallah, in 1975. We did our hifz there, alhamdulillah.
Allah. Ustad, how many years you took? Just on that note, since you're touching.
2.5 years, Mawlana, inshallah, that was, mashallah, the norm at Indo Zamana. In 2.5 years, and maximum 3 years, alhamdulillah. So the sister that asked the question that my child is taking what you call too long. Let me give you one nasiha, you know. Sheikh Naina was a very top qari, you know, from Egypt.
Very well.
He was a guest of Mawlana Ismail Abdul Razak Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Ladysmith, and then we had gone to the airport to fetch it. And when we're driving back from Johannesburg, Qari Sahib took out his Quran and he was reading. And Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullah Ali was trying to engage him because they spoke Arabic very well. Mawlana was there for 18 years in Egypt, mashallah. So they were speaking in Arabic. But the Sheikh never responded. He never said a word to Mawlana. When we reached Ladysmith, he closed the Quran. And he said to Mawlana, please don't be upset with me. From the day I became a Hafizul Quran, I complete one Quran, or I read 5 siparas every day.
Allahu Akbar. Allah.
Man kara khamsan, something to this effect, that whoever will make door of 5 juz every day, lam yansa, he will never forget his Quran. So I was reading from Johannesburg to Ladysmith my 5 siparas.
Yeah.
Number two, there is no age restriction as far as Hibzul Quran. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi started studying from the age of 40. And inshallah, if your son makes a niyat, oh Allah, I started my hifz. Allah, take me to completion. And if anything happens in the interim, Allah will wake him up with the qurra and hufaz. Alhamdulillah. And for our listeners, our mothers and fathers, grandfathers and great-grandfathers, you also have this personal wish in your heart. I'm hearing this little boy read Quran, my grandson. I wish I could be a Hafiz of Quran. And you take the Quran, and inshallah, you say, never mind, Rabbul Alameen, I'm going to start with Surah Fatiha. I'm going to learn one ayah. Yes, obviously, 6,666 verses or whatever the ulama have counted will take you some time. But if you pass away in the interim, you only learn Surah Fatiha and you read the one page of Al-Islamiyin. That's what an example. And you passed away. Inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will wake you up as a Hafiz al-Quran. So there's no excuse. So even if your son takes a little extra time, sister, don't let that bother. His door must be most packed. You must wake him up in the night and say, right, read from here, ayat number 2, para number 7. You must be able to rattle it out.
Ustad, there's an urgent question that came in now. It's a sister from Mayfair West. They're listening to you. And the son is also listening to you. My son started hifz. Of course, our topic is not about hafiz, but it came in. And she says, my son started to become a hafiz at the age of 14. At the age of 14. And now today he's only 22 years old, Mawlana Salim. He's only finished 17 paras. So he so far he's doing 9 years, but now he stopped hafiz. He says it's taking him too long. The sister needs some help, Ustad. It's a mother, a concerned mother. She says he started his hifz at the age of 14, and he only finished 17 paras. And 17 paras, it took him 9 years to finish 17 paras. So I think the son is very, I don't know, demotivated to start. He's 22 years old now. So the mother says that he stopped his Quran because he says it's taking him too long. Ustad.
Mawlana, inshallah, we need an alim or a hafiz or a qari, inshallah, to motivate him. inshallah, al-Adiz, to bring him back and make him understand, okay, what is the maqam of a hafiz, what is the reward for making hifz al-Quran, and what is a punishment when a person starts hifz and they forget their Quran and they give up the Quran. Gee, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is going to wake them up as blind. And you will say to Allah, لِمَا حَشَرْتَنِي أَعْمَى وَقَدْ كُنْتُ بَصِيرًا.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah, why are you waking me up blind today? I could see in the world, I had sight. And Allah will say, exactly as you have forgotten me, we have forgotten you today. So I think, inshaAllah al-Aziz, that the brother, if the alim of that particular town, inshaAllah, could sit down. I'm sure there is a hifz class. There are senior ulamas in the town, I'm sure. If the parents take the child, inshaAllah, I mean, he's an adult now. And inshaAllah, try to convince him, okay, never mind. Even if it took you 7 years, it will take you another 14 years. Never mind. There is no end to studying, inshaAllah. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the gate, to the grave, inshaAllah. Don't let that let you down, because some students finish in 6 months, some in 1 year, 2 years, even if it takes you your whole life. On the day of Qiyamah, just understand for one reason, Allah is going to put a crown on the head of the
Allahu
parents.
Akbar.
Allah is going to say to you, start reading from Alif Lam Mim, and when you finish at one Nas in Jannah, that's going to be your final abode. Just think about that. So inshallah, I think somebody needs to sit and speak to the young man, inshallah, you know, try to create the talab in him, inshallah, and mention the virtues, even if it takes him another 7 years. Never mind, he should never give up the Quran. Allah make it easy for the parents. I know every parent's wish and tamanna is that my son or my daughter become a hafiz or hafiza. Allah make it a reality for her, for him, inshaAllah.
SubhanAllah. I see Sister Asma, of course, from Chipata, Zambia, listening to you as well, Ustad. Ustad, it's a very, very interesting question. I think we're going to, how normally Ustad always says, we're going to grab the bull by the horns. Ustad, do you know Brother Ahmad? Ahmad from Boysons, our very, very good, big fan of the discussion. Brother Ahmad from Boysons. Now, his wife Asma, she's listening to the program, and she wants to give her input on the discussion this evening. And she's saying, what are the rights of women in Islam, Sister Asma, Ustad? And we just spoke about this. You and I, we spoke about this, Ustad. She says, why can't Islam defend our women folk out there who's been raped, who's been tortured, who's been abused, who's been emotionally, physically abused, who's been kidnapped? Didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praise the sahabia? This is Sister Asma, Haji Ahmad from Boyson's wife, Ustad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qala Allah Ta'ala, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof. Wa qala Ta'ala, wa min ayatihi an khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwajan litaskunu ilayha wa ja'ala baynakum mawaddatan wa rahma. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata a'yunin waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Sadaqa Allahu Mawlana al azim. Mawlana, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward this sister. Really, Allah ta'ala. I think maybe Mawlana, she's got kashf. Because I think just before the ad break,
we just discussed it.
That, you know, alhamdulillah, we should also highlight from Markaz-e-Sahaba that we stand in solidarity with all our mothers and sisters, Muslim or non-Muslim. Gee, we must defend the rights of women. First and foremost, Allah Pak has given you a daughter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you a mother. Allah ta'ala has given you the position of a sister. Allah has given you a position of a wife. And for each right, Shariah has got rules. And the greatest thing, the greatest champion, or the person who protected and gave women their rights, was Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Women were treated like animals. They were treated like possessions. They were given 1,000 talaqs. 100 men could sleep with them. They would give 2,000 talaqs. They were absolutely treated so badly, worse than animals. Go into the history, you know, in Europe and see how they treated. See the Jews, how they treated women. See the Christians, how they treated women. The Hindu community, how they treated women. It goes, going to the history, Mawlana, a whole kitab is written on it. And who came? as a reformer. Who came and championed the rights of women in Islam was none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
What was Rasulullah's cry? The famous khutbah that Rasulullah gave. Mount Arafah, the day of Arafah. Such a mubarak place. Rasulullah is seated on his camel. It's a time of ijabah. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The last word. As-salā, as-salā, wa ma malakat aymanukum. And Rasulullah said, I'm giving you nasihat. Be good to your women folk. When it came to sawab and reward in Islam, inna al-muslimina wal-muslimat. Wal-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. Wal-qanitina wal-qanita. Wal-sadiqina wal-sadiqat. Wal-sabirina wal-sabirat. والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات What did Allah say? أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. When it came to ibadah, men and women are equal. And sometimes some women, because of their piety and love for Allah, they supersede some men in their ibadat. Take Hazrat Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha. Take all these pious ladies. If you look at their ibadat and you look at their biography, it will just shock you that what love they had for Allah, what link they had with Allah. Hazrat Rabia Basriya is crying to Allah, oh Allah, hey Malik, all the doors of the kings are closed. Rabbul Alameen, your doors are open. Oh Allah, I've come to you open-handed. Oh Allah, forgive me. Subhanallah. Every 5 o'clock, everybody closes shop. The banks are closed. The shops are closed. No business. 5 o'clock, we close. You want anything, you come next morning. But it is Rabbul Alameen. Allah's door, it never closes. So we should be supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to the point which the sister said, that alhamdulillah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, Islam is the only religion, alhamdulillah, that spoke about the right, gave women the dignity, the respect that they deserve, the sense of responsibility Allah Ta'ala has given to women. Ad-dunya kulluha mata. Everything in this world is of benefit, but the greatest asset that Allah can give you is al-mar'atu saliha. Allah will give you a pious wife. She is the greatest asset. She is the first university. She is the first teacher. And we treat her so badly. What did Rasulullah say? Khiyarukum, khiyarukum li ahli. The best amongst you is he who is good to his family. Wa ana khiyarukum li ahli. And I'm good to my family. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is describing the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to take ghusl together.
Allahu Akbar.
Another Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah used to take more water than me. I'm telling Rasulullah, bas karo, leave some water for me. One. Number two, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he used to drink water and there was left over, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I used to put my mouth exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam put his mouth.
Subhanallah.
We were on journey. I said to Rasulullah, let's have a race. Rasulullah ran with me. He helped me. He made me happy. He took part. Sometimes later we had a race again. This time Rasulullah beat me. I said, tilka bi tilka, we squared up now. First round I won, second round you won. Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah was the most loving husband. Rasulullah was the most caring husband. Rasulullah helped the Azwaj-e-Mutahharat in their homes with domestic matters. Rasulullah spoke softly. On the night of Shabi Barat, Rasulullah opens the door, Ruwayda, the word comes in Hadith, Ruwayda, softly. He put on his sandals quietly and he stepped out of the house. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is thinking, Rasulullah is secretly going to see the other wives. So she followed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To her utter disappointment, she found Rasulullah in Jannatul Baqi crying and making dua. for all those who are buried in Jannatul Baqi. When she saw Rasulullah returning from the Qabristan, she ran back home. And she goes back into her room and she's lying down and she's panting for breath. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in the room and says, "Ya Aisha, why are you panting for breath?" And she said, "Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. I thought you were going to see your other wives quietly without my knowledge." So Rasulullah said to her, "Aisha, do you think Allah the Rasul will cheat on you? I went to Jannatul Baqi to make dua." Subhanallah. Look at the dialogue.
Sure. Allahu Akbar.
Whenever Rasulullah went on journey, he would bring a hadiah for Hadrat Aisha. So Islam had taught the world how to respect. Hadrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala was a businesswoman. Shariah has given women the right to own a business or run a business, provided she deals with the right things. She sells the right commodities. Just ask your husband for permission also. Alhamdulillah. So which religion gives you this? A woman who gives birth, Allahu Akbar, she falls pregnant, look at the sawab Allah is giving her. For every drop of milk she feeds that baby, what sawab Allah is giving her. She gives birth and she passes away in childbirth, she dies as a shaheed. What maqam Allah? A husband, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, a woman that reads her 5 daily namazes, she gives her zakah, she keeps her roza, and her husband is happy with her. Wajabat laha al-jannah, Allah has given her jannah. Show me which religion has shown us this. It's our weakness as men that we don't know how to respect a woman. We don't know how to treat a woman. Well, no, we need to do some soul searching as husbands. I just saw a clip came to me, Mawana. The husband beat his wife, her whole eyes is blue.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim.
You can see actually the meat that is hanging out from her eyes there. Well, no. What is happening to the Ummah? What is happening to the men folk today? Are we giving Islam a bad name? So we need to jack ourselves up. But alhamdulillah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a beautiful deen of Islam that shown justice, love and respect for women that you have no idea. What Allah has said in the Quran and the beautiful ahadiths of Rasulullah as far as the daughters of Rasulullah, the wives of Rasulullah, the sahabiyats of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should emulate them. And the men folk should read about the life of the sahaba and sahabiyat, how they treated their wives, and how they treated their husbands also. Marriage is a two-way street.
Ustaz Sastasma says that, so what are the rights? What are the rights of women in Islam? She says, Mawlana Salim, I'm sorry to say this, but there are sisters out there, they are afraid of coming out in the light and speak about this by their own husbands. Their own husbands are raping and torturing them. You think it's true that, Ustad? Own husbands are actually torturing them and raping them, Ustad?
Yes, no, the sister is right in what she's saying. Sure. I'm not saying all men do that.
Uh-huh.
But there are certain men who use really violence, Mawlana. You cannot believe the violence that they really instill on women and their wives. And this is done in the presence of children. And the children witness the violence and the abuse that you cannot believe. That the children are affected psychologically. Mawlana, you must hear some of the cases. You cry tears of blood. Because obviously the woman, she can't do anything. Her parents are late. She doesn't have anyone to stand up for her. Gee. No one to support her. She goes to the police station. Yes, not very much joy. She comes to the ulama-i kiram. We most of the time say, sabar karo. But there's nobody to stand up for her rights. See? That's why I said sometimes back, Mawlana, we need a whole team. We need lawyers. We need public prosecutors.
Yes, correct.
We need magistrates. We need ulama. We need social workers, inshallah. We should find a Jamaatul Muslimin in every town or in every big town. To where these cases like this, they must be, inshallah, the police must be able to help, the lawyer must be able to help, the public prosecutor is supposed to help, the magistrate is supposed to help, the social worker is supposed to help. At least there is some Sahara. We don't want to embarrass anybody. We want to correct the situation. She can't do it herself, Mawlana. She's not even allowed to go out. She's not even allowed to take. One of the keys locked. I know of certain cases, Mawlana. The husband locks the doors and windows.
No
way. If there's a fire, an emergency, the lady will burn to death in that house.
No ways, Ustad. No ways.
Allah persisted. I'm not saying all men. Some men are absolutely psychopaths, Mawlana. It really hurts you to see how they bash their wives and how they hit them, Mawlana. You just have no idea. So, yes, the sister is right that who stands for them. So I always suggested this, that inshallah, in some towns, in big cities, inshallah, we must try and find this one community or one jamaat, inshallah.
Yes, Ustad, correct.
Really. And maybe the lawyers and public prosecutors and magistrates, inshallah, you know, the Muslim brothers and sisters who are involved in the law and in prosecution, inshallah, to come forward and help. The ulama can only do so much. We can give nasihat, we can give advice and offer solutions, but to implement it and make it an order of the court, we can't do that.
But I think, Ustad, it's a very good idea what you're just giving. I don't know, Ustad, you think maybe they should be brought to notice or maybe lock them up or get a cops involved, Ustad? I don't know, because I don't know, Ustad. I don't know.
No. I think they should be locked up, in my honest opinion. And they should be sent to them to the, what you call, mental facility. They should keep them there for 3 months and treat them.
Yes.
Serious. Monona, you got anger management problem you cannot believe. They use the gun butt, Molana. They use knives, they use bottles. Stop. You cannot imagine the things that they use, the object that they use, and they beat their wives up. And nobody can come to the rescue. It's a sad state of the thing. This never happened previously in the Muslim Ummah. This is because of drugs. See, this is because of clubbing, liquor, wrong company, see, wrong friends. We don't have more parda left in our wives and our daughters. Sometimes we have to also pay the price. We have given our daughters, I'm saying some of them, total freedom. Go where you want, do what you want, no questions asked. And obviously, Mulana, they'll become victims. But it doesn't give anybody the right to ill-treat anybody's daughter. She's a woman, and Allah has given her dignity and izzat, and we should maintain that. The ulama should speak from the mimbar, alhamdulillah. The muallimas, when they're having ta'lim also, mashallah, jamaat brothers are having their ta'lim. This matter should also be discussed. Read those hadiths. Or give the sisters advice. Go to the ulama, go to the child welfare, or go to the K-line, inshallah. Go and seek some help. We all have to play our game, Mulana. It will work out. It will work out, Mulana.
The sister says here, my friend Molana Salim, her husband tore her arms out, tore her tissues. She had to go for surgery. This is anonymous. And I've got a brother, you see, I've got brother Zahir from Dubai. And he says, Molana, in our country, if a man has to ever lift his hand, he will be immediately put behind bars. This is brother Zahir. I'm taking his name, Ustad, from Dubai.
This is what I'm saying, Molana. You know, we need the police. We need the public prosecutor's office. We need, you know, child protection unit, woman protection unit. We all need to activate it, Molana. We need to be part and parcel of those groups, inshallah, so that we could take the cases there, not to disgrace somebody, but we want to correct the situation. We can't let the zulm and operation, Molana. Allah Ta'ala is going to be definitely hold us accountable. You knew of this operation and zulm. My banda or my bandi is suffering. And nobody, we all looked at it and brushed it. You know, it's not my business. Mind your own business. Don't we say that, Molana? Mind your own business.
Ustad, are you breaking up a bit? Ustad, you're breaking up a bit. If you could just move a bit, Ustad Ji. Ustad.
You know, as we say, mind your own business. You know, this is the thing. We are always in denial. Molana, you talk to anybody. No, there's no such thing. Everything is fine in this house. Its first point of defense is denial. So, and then it also teaches us something, Molana, something is wrong in the upbringing of this man. When he was a child, and he was growing as a teenager, he had a lot of baggages. See? So look at the end result, Molana. If we as parents are not going to be ba'adab, we're not going to show love to our children, we're not going to respect each other as husband and wife, as these Muslim children are growing, they are seeing what the parents are doing, how they talk, how they behave, how they interact, how they express love to each other in the sense, such kind words are used. Brother, don't you think that son or that daughter, inshallah, will emulate her father or emulate her mother? Where did the child learn this thing? Now he's an adult. Somewhere in his life, some part of his life was affected, Molana. And if you go back and do a history, a search, you'll find out this was a dysfunctional family. and they didn't go for help. As I said, sweep it under the carpet, and this is the price we pay today. That somebody's life, some mother is passed on, some wife is killed, some wife is destroyed, disfigured. We pay the price.
Ustad, the sister don't want me to, of course, mention her place's name. I'm not going to mention the place's name. And she says, respected Maulana Salim Karim, my husband is filthy rich. Nobody can get him locked up. He's well connected with the lawyers. He's well connected with the attorneys, with the judges, and with the police. And he is filthy rich. I mean, Ustad, where is Allah, Ustad? Where is our taqwa? Where is our iman, Ustad? Come on.
Anybody is more richer than Firaun and Haman.
Allahu Akbar.
What Allah did to them, Allah destroyed them. Is this man, the sister was talking, her husband was more richer than Haman and Firaun? Was he more powerful than Firaun? Who said, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I'm the best of lords.
Allah.
Shaddad. He built an exact replica like Jannat. And the day he was supposed to set foot, he just put his foot there and Malak al-Maut came and took his life away. See? Where was his power? Where was his wealth? Az-zulmu zulumat yawm al-qiyamah. Aur yaad rakho, Allah ki lati mein awaz nahi hoti hai. In the stick of Allah there is no sound. Ask that rich man who's doing that, has he got peace and contentment in his life? Murana, just honestly ask that man. He may have the power, he may have the police or whatever it is. See? But when Allah's punishment comes, and it comes unexpected. Allah ki lati mein, as the old people say, Allah ki lati mein awaz nahi hoti. In the stick of Allah there is no sound. See? So he mustn't think he will get away with murder and power and everything. There isn't an Allah that is watching. Yes. Jimana.
Ustad, it's 2 minutes left. Maybe to all the listeners out there, those who are listening to you, of course, our topic was the signs of Qiyamah and its fitna. I see Brother Zahir says here, Maulana Salim Karim from Dubai, he says, is this part of also the signs of Qiyamah? Yakun al-waladu ghaydan. He says, where children becoming filled with rage toward the parents, disrespecting parents. Ustad, Brother Zahir wants to know, is that part also of the signs of Qiyamah?
Yes, uququl walidain, Maulana, showing absolute disrespect for their parents. This is also a sign of Qiyamah. A person will listen to his wife and be disobedient to his mother. Sure. Now we are opening a can of worms now again, Maulana.
See?
But each one have their set rules and rights. A son, he must do his duty as a son, and as a husband, he must do his duty to his wife. It's like two wheels on one axle. You've got to balance that wheel. It has to be the same size, the same tire pressure, and rotating on the same speed. Then, inshallah, you have a smooth sailing, happy life.
Ustad,
you're going to put one big tire, one small tire, you're going to have a problem.
Ustad, there's a minute left. From your side, Ustad, on this beautiful night of Jumu'ah, the 13th of Muharram, to Sister Anisa in Swaziland about the Hafiz. I wrote everything down here. To our beloved brother Malik, who he says, I feel that I have betrayed the Almighty Allah. To Sister Asma, she asked about what are the rights of women in Islam. You know, to the sister that says, my husband is filthy rich. To Brother Zahir, of course, in Dubai. Ustad, to all the listeners who are listening this evening, I'm ask you a few words of advice, Ustad. What would you advise them? You've got about 2 minutes left, inshallah, Ustad.
First and foremost, let's come back to this ayat. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqnatu min rahmatillah.
Haq.
Inna Allaha yaghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a. All is not lost. The doors of tawbah is still open.
Beshak.
The doors of repentance is still open. You can still go and make your islah. Make tawbah, make peace with yourself first. Make peace with those who you have hurt. Try and do good deeds. Try and change your life. Think about your mort. Think at the time of your death. Think who's going to make dua for you after you die. Think about that. So, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't despair of Allah's mercy. Never mind what a big gunegar you can be. As long as you make tawbah, you acknowledge, you feel remorseful, innal hasanat yuzhibna sayyi'at, you make a mistake or a guna, you back it up with a good deed, you give sadaqah. See, inshallah, Allah gets happy. My banda is asking me for forgiveness. Two things, as I said. One is that you can't weigh the sawab of it. Ek maaf karna, to forgive somebody. And number two, insaf karna, to exercise justice. The sawab is tremendous. So the nasihat I will leave you with is this verse of the Quran. Gee, that don't give up on the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Inna Allaha yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. So all of us, whether husbands who hurt the feelings of our wives, wives who hurt the feeling of their husbands, children who hurt the feelings of their mothers, we should go and ask for forgiveness tonight before we go to bed. Okay, whatever happened, I'm asking you for forgiveness for the pleasure of Allah. No use crying on my janazah tomorrow morning. It'll be too late. That's all I'm going to say.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
And number three, remember the families that have passed away. Make dua and maghfirat for them tonight. Read Surah Ikhlas 11 times. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And say to Bari Ta'ala, O Allah, give the ajr and sawab to all the marhumins who have passed away from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and especially to my parents. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala give us ajri azim. As somebody said, badla na liya karo. Don't take revenge. Bas maaf karte raho. Just keep forgiving people for the pleasure of Allah. And Allah will forgive you on the day of Qiyamah.
Ustaz, jazakumullah khairan. You really touched everybody's hearts. I can see the messages coming in. Everyone is saying ameen, ameen, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your words of wisdom, inshallah, Ustaz. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, keep our iman intact, inshallah, Ustaz. I see Brother Malik as well. He sent a crying face and he says, ameen. Thumma ameen, Ustaz.
Ameen. Allah ta'ala accept his tawbah. He must come back, inshallah, al-Aziz, to the sunnah of Rasulullah.
Salallahu.
Change his life again and become Allah's beloved. At-Taibu Habibullah. Not only him, all of us can make tawbah.
Ameen.
And we'll become Allah's beloved. At-Taibu Habibullah.
Ameen, inshallah. Yes. Ameen, inshallah. Ustaz, jazakumullah khairan. We have to leave it there, inshallah. Up next will be the news. Thereafter, inshallah, the Urdu lecture. We will be meeting, inshallah, next week, Tuesday, Ustaz. Same time, same place on our program, Safina to Ilal Jannah, inshallah.
See, Mawlana, we'll do that, inshallah.
Ameen, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant you speedy recovery, Ustaz. Allah Ta'ala grant you shifa wa kamil, inshallah. Ajil and daiman mustamir.
Ameen. Jazakumullah, Mawlana, shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum. 3 minutes
after 10, we're going to leave you and love you on this beautiful, awesome Thursday evening. See you tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safinatu Ila Al-Jannah. From myself and from all the listeners out there, and my engineer, Brother Lokalu, Allahumma hadina, wahdi bina wahdi nasa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.